What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 22nd, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Giant Bombs Timur Hussein. Hello!
Hi, it's my birthday.
No, I don't.
Happy birthday.
No. Don't do it. Don't fall for it.
He got me. He got me, that son of a bitch. I got so excited. I was like, oh,
because what is the origin of you always just saying it's your birthday? Is that just something you thought was funny and you've done the rest of your life?
He's a piece of shit. That's what his origin is.
That's right.
Do
you want to know the real reason or the fun reason? The fun reason.
Here, if I'll full stop you right now, Tam. Here's the problem I have with Tam is that Tam, as you all know, adores Batman. Loves Batman
with all my heart.
Taken on all the wrong properties from the Joker. Where do I want to know the story? Which story am I getting to him? I don't know. You're gonna give me these two stories and you're gonna say one's the real answer, one's, and then next time I ask, it'll be three more answers that don't make any sense. So I don't know what it's gonna be.
I think there's a fairly good chance it's his actual fucking birthday today. He's that kind of energy, impossible. You know?
Who knows? So the fun answer is I just enjoy the chaos.
There it is. That's exactly right.
The less fun but more like real answer is because I realize that no one on Twitter pays attention to anything.
Sure.
Like, but they do engage with everything. And so I had a theory where I was like, I'm going to test whether this is actually the case. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start randomly saying it's my birthday in one of those tweets, which is like, oh, you know, oh, I'm celebrating my birthday today by taking it easy. And seeing who replies with, oh, happy birthday. And then I'll do it again at an undetermined time, fairly close after, and see what happens. And what I found was the same people were just repeatedly wishing me a happy birthday over and over again. And then my thinking, my theory was confirmed. People don't pay attention to what they interact with on Twitter. It's just like a routine of... this is a birthday means I reply happy birthday, makes me feel good, strengthens relationship online with this person, and go.
Congratulations on figuring that out and just, you know, taking down the little kindness people have.
There you
left.
Go.
You're such
there
a
you go.
Piece of shit. That's the
there
thing.
You go.
Do when people say happy birthday
on the internet, they're fucking lying to you. They don't give a shit.
Or I'll tell for you what, a moment, for... they're like, oh, it's Tam's birthday.
For years, I stayed away from the birthday game on Twitter.
Somebody
says something about their birthday, I want to say happy birthday to them. Not because I don't care, but just because I use Twitter in a very specific utilitarian work way for the most part, or torturing Andy. But like, I think past time around where I was like, maybe this last birthday, or maybe like even I don't know any life event, I'm gonna bring it down. Like when Porty died or whatever, it does feel good when people respond. And so now I've kind of like eased it up a bit, where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna start. But then I get in my own head about it of like, I think other people are gonna see me wishing somebody else a birthday and be like, well, Greg never wished me a birthday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That does happen.
I'll keep it offline. It was Gary Whitta's birthday yesterday, right? 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. It's times the flat circle I've had COVID.
See, now I feel bad. I didn't know, but I didn't know it was his birthday.
You know,
I could have never known.
It was 50.
He's 50?
Yeah.
Gary Whitta's 50? He does not look 50.
Oh, I was going the opposite way.
I mean, no, to me, he looks like he's British. When British people age, like when they get to 50, they look a lot more aged than Gary Whitta does.
Well, so again, I think the problem here is like
has helped him quite significantly.
I don't know what to believe. I saw someone wish him a 50th birthday. I think it was his wife. But was she maybe having a jab at him, making some fun? I don't know. But I said happy birthday to him. You know what I mean? He appreciated it. I texted him happy birthday. You know what I mean? But that's the thing about Gary Whitta. If you don't know everybody, Gary Whitta, anything you ever do, he takes the pebble and he puts it on the scale. He remembers. Gary Whitta Gary Whitta very much has the scales on what if you've been good or bad to him.
All right. So if with that in mind, I would like to formally wish Gary Whitta a happy birthday. I'd like to apologize to him that I didn't know it was yesterday, but I am wishing you a happy birthday today. Trogs, if you could clip that out and send it to him for me, I'd appreciate that.
I don't know. I want to make sure we got it that it was yesterday because it's one of those things, again, flat circle. I can't remember anything. You know? Yeah, no, it was yesterday. And his wife said, happy 50th birthday to my amazing husband, Gary Whitta. And that's when I was like, oh, I got to text her.
Did he respond?
Happy birthday, Gary.
Yeah, he said heart back.
Oh, okay, all right.
It was his birthday. Okay, great.
Yeah. Well, for sure it was his birthday.
Okay, let's just make sure he gets that from me.
He spent all day bitching about not getting any power wash simulator swag, you know? Gary, you're 50 years old. Grow up, Jesus.
That he doesn't look 50, but that is the thing that makes you reminds you that he does act 50.
It's a great game. That's a great game.
No, this was not a shot at the game, Kevin. We're all very.
Does the power wash simulator swag include a power washer?
No, it came with a little stress gnome. A shirt that said ding, a hat that said ding.
I've been
looking for a power washer too, that's the thing.
Yeah. Give us power washers.
But then they would lose the simulation part of it.
Right.
I mean, they didn't send me anything, so I'm fine. I don't care.
Yeah, yo, you don't seem bitter about it at all either.
No.
See, this is the problem with all you British people. You know what I mean? You're like, it's just under the surface. You think you're hiding your emotions, but under the surface.
I have now concocted a scheme that is going to ruin the lives of everyone who works on Power Watch Simulator.
Jesus Christ. I got places. You know what I mean? Speaking of ruining people's lives, Greg Way, let's talk about some video game news. The Last of Us Part 1 official details are officially in. Riggs is dying. And we have some Assassin's Creed Red rumors. We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerd video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get your questions read. You can get your producer name read. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive photo show we do each and every weekday. Of course, you can watch us record shows like the Kind of Funny Games cast and PS I Love You XOXO live. You could be a trog. However, today it's of the utmost importance because, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, we are recording the 100th episode of the Kind of Funny XCast.
Hell yeah.
Snowbike Mike will be joined by one of his gaming dads, Paris Lilly. Gary Witta, 50 years old, and got a COVID shot, so he's laid out. He's tired. He can't be on the show. But Major Nelson will be stepping in to hang out and celebrate 100 episodes of the Kind of Funny XCast. You should come watch live, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give us a few bucks, you can watch it live and have a great time. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. We have plenty of free ways to support us. The first and foremost, of course, you can use the Epic creator code KINDOFFUNNY when you're checking out in the Epic store or when you're buying something in Fortnite with them V-Bucks on any platform under the sun. You use the code KINDOFFUNNY. We get some money. Everybody's happy. Another way to freely support this show is watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like K3Well, Burgers, and WolfFox10JC. If you're watching live, you have a special job, go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping, like I said, XCast 100th today. You can watch it live, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you don't have any bucks to toss our way, no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow. Come reminisce about the Kind of Funny XCast with special guest Major Nelson and maybe other people. Maybe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Gordon McGuire, and the Predator, Al Tribesman. Today we're brought to you by MeUndies, Athletic Greens, and ExpressVPN, but we'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Is it four items? I'm currently adding a fifth.
Five items on the Roper Report. Say it again, Kev.
A baker's dozen.
Number one on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. It's official. We've officially seen The Last of Us Part 1. Gameplay and details. Kevin, I dropped the link in there. It's 10 minutes long, so you can just let it play while we talk over it. We're going to read from Kat Bailey's story over at IGN.com. In the wake of the reveal of The Last of Us Part 1, a full remake of the original 2012 release for PlayStation 3, there were plenty of questions about how much it would actually change. But based on a new video released by Naughty Dog today, the answer is plenty. Kevin, can you scroll back 2 seconds to where Neil Druckmann was? Pause it. Tam.
Look, yeah, he looks like Joel.
Look at the fucking guns on Neil Druckmann. What is this guy putting up on the rack, Kevin? You kidding me right now?
That is a powerful look for Neil Druckmann, honestly.
Henry Cavill, but get out of the way. I want to see this man reload.
I want to see him come to Game Awards next year and cock his arms like Cavill does in Mission Impossible. It's a good look. And you know what? I was fond of Neil Druckmann's long hair look, mainly because when we were in London, we had a little sandwich shop next to us where there was a man who looked like Sliding Doors Neil Druckmann. Me and Lucy used to always just look at him and be like, Sliding Door Neil Druckmann.
Yeah.
But I will say the short hair, big beard, big guns look for Neil Druckmann is much better. It's a good look. It is a good look.
All right. Anyway,
he does also look like Joel. Like, he looks straight up like Joel.
He's getting there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel could never be this cut. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. All right, Kevin, hit play again. Sorry. The Last of Us director Neil Druckmann was among those talking center stage to outline some of the biggest enhancements to the beloved classic, from graphical enhancements to improvements to accessibility. The team also outlined a host of new features, which include, sorry, I have COVID, a new permadeath mode, a speed run mode where players can time their runs, unlockable costumes for Joel and Ellie, an enhanced photo mode, a model viewer mode. That's on top of the big changes to AI, graphics, and controls, which aim to enhance The Last of Us at pretty much every level. For instance, the remake will utilize the DualSense haptics to add tension as Ellie draws a bowstring. Holy shit, Tam. Groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. I can't believe this is the first game ever to add tension for drawing a bowstring.
Why are you making fun of it? It adds to it. It's better.
What I'm making fun of it is that what they lead with, Kevin. That's the fucking example they've been using since they fucking debuted haptics. I'm sick of hearing about the goddamn bowstring. Blessing knows what's up. Blessing, if you're out there coming in, give me a hell yeah.
I'm sick of that stuff. I'm also sick of you can feel the tarmac underneath your wheels. No one gives a shit, okay? Yeah. No one cares.
Now,
get on with it.
But here's where they do put it in the interesting way. Blessing?
Hell yeah.
Thank you. They also put an interesting thing in the video, right? Or to enhance the tactile feel of Joel and Ellie petting a giraffe. Now, hold on a second. This is what I'm talking about.
The bowstring animal?
I've had how many games now have done this with the bowstring business? I've heard it. I understand. I don't care. The giraffe? I'm going to feel what it's like to pet a giraffe through the haptics of the DualSense. Now you have my attention, Naughty Dog.
This is subterfuge and deception, because Naughty Dog knows that 90%, 95 to maybe 99% of players will have no frame of reference of what it's like to pet a giraffe. Who can among us claim that the feeling of petting a giraffe in Last of Us Part 1 remake is authentic in any way? No one.
Well,
now, Tam, I think this is bullshit.
Tam, just so you know, you're talking in like the worst place to talk.
Okay, who here has pet a giraffe?
Kevin.
Kevin? Okay, I'm gonna need a full review from
not
you.
Only, right? Just so you know, not only have I pet a giraffe, I've
I'll
also
say you wrote
fed
a giraffe.
I've okay, also cool. fed it apples. I would gladly eat a giraffe, Greg. I want to know what the
no, don't eat a giraffe.
Like.
Now, I'm gonna need like a TikTok from you and Roger about how authentic it feels.
I realize I've been out of the .com game for a long time.
Yeah. But I see where you're going.
The race is on between you and smelly, stinky IGN.com. All right. Will Giant Bomb be the ones to approach the SF Zoo? Mm-hmm. Say we have a fun video here. Mm-hmm. Let us come pet this giraffe, or you send us a video of you petting a giraffe. Then you come to the office and you play this, and you tell me if it feels like.
Okay, I'm on it. Don't worry, I'm on it.
Because here's the thing. I know right now Brian Altano's rolling over in bed at Comic-Con, right, covered in
giraffe salads.
All this man does his workout and eating. I don't know what he does anymore. He's only eating healthy. He's losing weight left and right. He's gonna roll over. He's gonna find out about this. The race is on. Don't let Brian and Max Scoville do this. Put Giant Bomb back on the map. You guys lost a lot of credibility when you brought in Jeff Grubb. You lost a lot of credibility when you brought in Jeff Grubb.
Wow, listen, he pioneered the daily morning news show format. Let's go.
Yeah, sure he did. He posted it at 5:30 in the morning. How's the viewership on that? You know what I mean?
It's going really well. Thank you very much.
News hasn't even fucking happened yet. Get out of
here. Yeah, we'll see next time you're quoting him and you have to say Jeff Grubb from Giant Bomb. Okay.
Everybody, I want you to remember that sentence and we'll get back to it. All right. We'll remember that sentence and we'll get back to it. Oh, wait. It's going to be a ways from now. We'll get back to that. All right. Anyways, back to the story here from Cat Bailey at IGN.com, a real website. Naughty Dog hopes that these changes will make The Last of Us remake, as Druckmann puts it, extremely better than the original game. The Last of Us Part 1 was first confirmed back during the Summer Game Fest after several leaks, whereupon we got to see the updated version running on PS5. Critics have wondered whether The Last of Us needs a full remake just a decade after its original release, but Naughty Dog insists it isn't just a cash grab. Quote, "It's the definitive way to play The Last of Us," Druckmann says. We'll be able to see for ourselves just how enhanced The Last of Us remake is when it releases September 2nd on PlayStation 5 and PC. Tam? What did this video do for you? I assume you've watched it all. It's still going, obviously. We keep letting it play, Kev.
Yeah, I watched it, and I'm excited for Last of Us 1 being updated and that kind of stuff. I have played that game many times, so I don't know how much more excited I can be having played that game, 3 or 4 times. I think for me, like, the interesting thing is, like, the combat They haven't shown much of it. They've shown just snippets of it. And I think that's where the biggest difference is, like, between part one and part two, right? Like, the combat, sure, they kind of figured out into way better. I will go so far as to say I don't very much like the combat in most Naughty Dog games up until this point. It's been functional more than something I actually enjoy. Whereas in Last of Us Part 2, it felt like something that was enjoyable and part of the overall kind of vibe, aesthetic, and what they were going for, the brutality of it. So taking a step back for this is going to be a hard ask, I think, for me. As far as I know, they aren't making any combat changes, are they? Like, they're not putting in the Last of Us 2 combat model into 1, are they?
Not that we know of. Again, like, the messaging, I feel, is saying so much, but dodging the stuff people really care for.
Exactly. So we know that you will be able to feel the tensile strength of a bow when you pull it, but we don't know whether the combat is any better than it was previously, which was a mess. We don't know whether Ellie is going to stand in front of you and take shots to the ass while you're trying to be stealthy. We don't know.
No, we know that isn't going to happen. We know that isn't going to happen.
Are we 100% sure? Again.
They really talk about how smart the AI is.
I'm back on board. I'm back on board, baby. Let's go. That's all I needed. But yeah, the actual, like, combat is the main thing for me. And the rest of it is kind of like, okay, it's nice to have. Yeah, it's going to look better. It will feel a bit better. But I don't know if it's going to play as good as The Last of Us 2 is. And, you know, the whole objective is to kind of create parity or create, like, a more seamless transition from 1 to 2. And that feels like the major point where you're like, is that going to be seamless? It doesn't feel like it is going to be seamless. It's one of those moments where you're like, this is going to be a reminder of these two games coming out, like, vastly different time periods.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see on so much of it. To your point, like, to the point I was making, I guess, for your question, right? The AI for your companion has been redone. It is in Last of Us 2 way. And then the enemy AI as well has been redone and has been done in Last of Us 2 way. But what it feels like to play as Joel, how much does that change to play as Ellie? Obviously, as you see this, that is unknown. And that's where it gets interesting of, like, okay, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, I'm going to play this. I'm hoping I platinum it. I hope it has a great trophy list on it. But watching this last night, I don't think it's a cash grab. I think that's so insulting to anybody who's making anything, right?
Yeah.
But I was watching and just being like, oh, okay, so it's going to be the same levels in the same geometry, in the same move the palette, do the thing, move the stick, except it's going to look way better and they're going to have come in and fleshed out the trees and made the environments feel more real. But even playing Last of Us right before Last of Us Part 2 to be ready for it, I was like, oh man, this is a much smaller, tighter game. Like, it feels more claustrophobic. I feel like I'm in set pieces all the time, right? Where I didn't feel that in Last of Us 2. And granted, I'm not saying that needs to exist in Last of Us Part 2, but the hope of saying in the original messaging and rumors, we are remaking The Last of Us, made me go, oh, they're remaking it. They're, like, really blowing it out. And so I feel like this exists somewhere between a remake and a remaster.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm going to be shocked. Like, I don't know. Like, even watching it, I don't know. It's going to come down to being on sticks and how it feels and what it is. But watching it, I'm like, yes, this is Last of Us, and it looks prettier. But, like, I played the prettier version with Remastered as well. So it's like, I don't know. Digital Foundry will have the frame by frames and the things, and they have them here as they pull things back and go this way. But I'm not looking at it going like, holy shit.
Like, and let's also be, like, completely transparent with it. Like, this is not entirely for us. Like, people that have played this game a bunch of times and love it, or the first two. This is for the people who are looking at the HBO show and going, what is this all about?
Yep.
And then potentially might go back and play the games. Like, this is to kind of leverage the interest around the TV show. And
100%.
It's going to be interesting to see how those people take to it, if at all. Like, they're a much broader group than us right now. But like I said, the kind of, like, transition from 1 to 2, I think, is going to be quite jarring for a lot of people. I would be like, if you're a person that doesn't play a lot of games like us, this might still feel quite dated, especially if the gameplay hasn't been tweaked too much. Whereas the second game is the one where you play it and you feel like, oh, this is a modern, good-feeling, like, enjoyable video game to experience, as opposed to the first game, which is more perhaps consumable now as a movie-watching experience than a playing experience.
Yeah, to your point, and I obviously agree with it, and Kevin, the trailer's done. I feel like, and not even feel like, it's what it is. It's meant to be that you watch Last of Us on HBO. You go, this is awesome. I'm going to walk into the store, because this is the future. Walk in the store, buy a PlayStation 5, and right there is Last of Us Part 1. And theoretically, then I'm sure enough, Last of Us Part 2 will be there in no time. Ready to, on in a PlayStation 5 box, ready to be bought and ready to go with as well.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm both excited for it, but also kind of ambivalent, if you know what I mean.
100%. Like, that's the thing about it, where it's like, I watched all this last night, and I'm like, yeah, obviously I'm going to play this. Like, in September is a great time for it to drop, but I'm not, like, checking my email. Where's the review code? Where's the review code? Like, and again, is that a shock? No. Like, I've played The Last of Us how many times? Like, I love The Last of Us, and I'm going to love this game, I'm sure, too. But it is interesting, like, when they started going through the things they're adding to the game, that's another one where I'm like, okay, not much for me here. Permadeath, that's awesome. People want to do that. I understand that. Speedrun, sure, great for that. Costumes, all right, yeah, I'm down for that. Photo mode, that's rad. Model viewer, never once in a video game have I used a model viewer. I don't know why people put that in there. And I know in the thing Neil talks about, oh, or maybe it was Sean, but Neil, I think it was, of like, oh, we put in the model reviewer because, you know, you can really see the detail on the models we're using. I'm like, I get that, but Chad, is that something you do a lot? Do you use model viewers? Is that something you've been big on? And what is all that? My years of video games, I've never done that.
Don't be creepy about it.
Great point.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just people just being like, I've zoomed into Joel's crotch. And you're like, oh, come on.
That's right where I would go to. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, the question here from twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, it comes from OutRun6017. But if you weren't getting a code, would you guys buy it for $70? Tam, no?
No. No.
I'm probably in the same boat. Yeah. Like, I don't, again, and I feel like saying that sounds more damning than I think I mean it to. It's just that I've played The Last of Us, and I've played The Last of Us Remastered, and now this is a very pretty version of The Last of Us. And I also just played The Last of Us in 2020. So it's not like I haven't played it in a decade, and I'm like, man, I really want to go through that story again.
Yeah, I want to create a distinction between I wouldn't buy it at all and I wouldn't buy it for $70. I would end up buying it, but I would just wait until it drops in price because I'm not, as Greg, you mentioned, like, it's fundamentally the same game and I can wait to play that for, it's not like I'm going to miss out on any conversations around it that aren't, you know, oh, it looks really nice at 60 frames per second or whatever. Or like, look at this texture. I don't have to be engaged in those conversations. If there was some story that I was missing out on or some character stuff that I was missing out on, then I'd be compelled to buy it immediately. But it's the same game. I'll pick it up when it's on discount on a PlayStation Plus sale or something like that, and I'll be good. No issues. It's the $70. Like, if it came out at a more discounted price, then I'd probably pick it up a lot earlier. But for me, like, I'm waiting for it to hit like maybe 30, maybe 40.
Sure. Or inevitably when they bundle it with PS5, Last of Us Collection. Yeah. And here's the definitive Last of Us Collection, and then it's all on PS5 ready to go. Which I'm still shocked that as we talk about, oh, well, this is for you to go to the store and buy your PlayStation 5 and blah, blah, that they didn't do that off the bat. But I wonder if it is that the Last of Us series is clearly going to be so much Last of Us Part 1 that they don't want to give you Part 2 yet, and there's no real hurry to get that. You can double dip on that when Season 2, 3, I mean, I'm sure Last of Us will go on forever as HBO series or whatever, but whenever they get to that kind of thing, then you try to time it out or whenever they drop it. But very interesting. It's going to be fascinating to see how it reviews and what the conversation is about it. Because this, you know, the $70 price tag has been the thing everybody's been hung up on, Tam.
Yeah, I understand the show. I'm interested to see if people are going to re-review the entire game. Like, I don't know what we're going to do at GameSpot because, like, we've reviewed this game like 3 times now.
You're going to re-review, like, guaranteed.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to, like, get an entire new review out of it or if it's just like, hey, just update the original one with some more text.
Interesting.
Like, that's what I generally do, like, for games that don't have, like, a major difference. Like, Spider-Man's coming out soon, the PC version. I'm not going to do an entire new review for that. I'll probably end up just doing, I mean, I say that now, but I'm sure someone from the SEO team is going to be like, you have to put an entire new review out. I'm going to be like, fuck. generally I'm just like a paragraph or two however much you need to say to get what you need to say about this new version of the game and put that into the old one, but we'll see how that goes.
Tam, we will see how that goes, but let me tell you, it's not going well for the servers for Killzone and Rigs. This is number 2 on the Roper report. Guerrilla Games is shutting down online servers for Killzone and Rigs. This is Demi Williams over at GameSpot.com. Guerrilla Games has today announced that online servers for a number of its games will shut down on August 12th. The studio behind Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Forbidden West shared the news today on Twitter, stating that online servers for Killzone Mercenary, Killzone Shadowfall, including Intercept Mode, and Riggs Mechanized Combat League will be closing down on this date. Guerrilla added that online features and online multiplayer modes for the games will cease on this day as well. However, single-player offline modes will still be available to players who already own the games. The developer didn't give any reasoning behind the sudden decision to shut down the servers for the select number of its games. Killzone Shadowfall launched in 2013 for PS4, while Killzone Mercenary was released on the PlayStation Vita motherfuckers the same year. These are the most recent console titles to be released in the Killzone franchise before Riggs Mechanized Combat League was released on PlayStation VR in 2016. Back in January 2021, Sony closed the official Killzone site, which now lets visitors know that it's been retired. The latest decision to close online servers suggests that Guerrilla is moving away from the Killzone franchise and will no longer be supporting previous titles. No recent announcements have been made in regards to the future of the franchise either. Damn, pour one out for Riggs Mechanized Combat League. You remember this
one? You hate to see it, yeah.
You hate to see it. Wow, what a groundbreaking PSVR game. One of the first PSVR game that I put on. I'm doing the thing in the training lab. I get in the elevator. The elevator goes up. The elevator stops, but my body felt like it kept going.
Yeah.
So carsick. Oh yeah. My God, was I carsick. I think it was at PAX.
I remember that as well. I had to stop playing that game pretty much immediately. Yeah, that was before I got my proper VR legs. Now I'm untouchable in VR.
I hear they call you untouchable, Tam.
Yeah. You can't touch me in VR unless I expressly consent to it.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
I wanted to pop in here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. It's CEO Junior Barrett Courtney. Hello, Barrett.
Don't pour one out for Riggs. Keep that beer. Drink that beer. Let Riggs die. First game I ever played for IGN on my very first day working at IGN, where they're like, hey, we're reviewing Riggs. Are you good in VR? And I was like, I don't know. And then they made me play Riggs, and then I captured Riggs footage. And honestly, one of the worst motion sick games, especially when you're playing it on PSVR, which is the most motion sick prone VR headset, I believe.
To be mean to it, you know.
No, I'm gonna be mean to it, Kevin, because the question you're being mean to
PlayStation VR in general.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
You have a weak constitution. That's on you. Me and
no, it's the Quest is much better at like letting you actually like walk around and actually feel like
you're better. Yeah, I'm
assuming like actually in the world instead of like, oh, I'm sitting down in a chair and I'm walking around and there's a major disconnect and that's why I'm getting motion sick or getting really hot and stuff like that.
What was it? It was like, you were in the giant mech, and you had to get the ball and run it and jam it, slam a jam it. Is that what it was in the center?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like it was like basketball, but with like more set dressing. You know, that's what it was, and it wasn't very good. Let it die. Don't pour out that beer. Don't waste it.
It's too late. It's been poured out. If you want pouring out for Killzone Mercenary, a great PlayStation Vita game for a great handheld.
Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that VR actually stands for Vomit Reproducer, so makes a lot of sense.
You
certainly
got there. You got there.
You know, it was gone. We moved on, Kevin, but he came back.
The Vita, a middling handheld. You know what I'm saying?
All right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
These kids today, Tam, they don't understand. No, they don't have their Steam Decks left and right. They don't understand the Vita crawled so your Steam Deck could run.
It had to crawl through glass.
Yeah, it was like Snake in the end of MGS4. It crawled through a microwave oven to get to where we are now.
You going to miss Killzone, Tam?
Absolutely not, no.
Yeah, me neither. Sorry, I'm another PlayStation guy. And let me tell you, I loved Killzone 2. The multiplayer.
Which one was the PSP one? Mercenaries? Was that what the...
No, it was the Vita one, Mercenary.
Oh, the Vita ones, yeah. That was decent. Yeah. That was all right.
I mean, because we were dying for something on a Vita that was not that Call of Duty World at War, right?
PS, the one I'm thinking of, Killzone Liberation, not Mercenaries. I was thinking of Liberation. Liberation was the PSP one, the like isometric one.
Yes. Like, oh my God. I had erased that from my head. Call of Duty Declassified. Thank you, Olive Party. God, that one sucked. And then that Bad Resistance one, too. Remember that? Jesus. We were hurting for it.
I will say this now, okay? Resistance, Fall of Man, one of the most overrated video game franchises of all time.
Well, first off, that's the first game. That's not a franchise, so you'd have to go say the Resistance franchise.
Fall of Man 2, whatever, all of them, overrated.
Here's what I'd counter with. Mm-hmm. Resistance, Retribution, the PSP game, underrated.
I would say Resistance, Retribution is probably the best of the bunch.
This is how I shake hands now. We shake in real life. We shake them, but we can't because of COVID. Because I have it.
Mm-hmm. I also had it, but
What can you do?
Yeah, I still have the cough as well. As I can see you going through it, and I know now.
Yeah,
how you feeling?
Yeah. So resistance never clicked for you at all?
No, not at all. I thought it was fairly basic. It had some nice, cool guns in it, but everything else was bog standard and kind of boring, if I'm honest. The interesting thing about this story is
even
I don't...
Three? I like three. Like, I'm with you that, like, one didn't click for me, two I wasn't a fan of. Loved Retribution on PSP. Thought that was a really cool story with Grayson. And then the three one, I was like, oh, Journey Across the Country, this is cool. Abrupt ending, but whatever.
Yeah, I just remember not caring about it, and I played through it, and I was like, I'm good. I'm just going to leave this. Entirely forgettable. For me, the interesting thing is the kind of assumption that a lot of people are making that they're done with Killzone. Well, and they're like, we're moving on. Yeah, they retire the website, that kind of stuff. But like, I don't think that's a kind of like in concrete indication that they're done with Killzone just because they got rid of a dated website, you know? Like, were they actively updating their website? They might have looked at that website and went like, this looks like fucking GeoCities, get rid of it. And start fresh. Like, who knows, like a few months from now, we could have a brand new Killzone website or whenever a new... I don't think Killzone is gone for a really long... forever. I feel like it comes back. And
100% you'll get more
kills. Yeah.
You're going to get more resistance. Like, you live in the Matrix, everybody. You will see all your old franchises will be brought back.
Why create new when you can just shove old?
Because you let it go long enough, and then there's just a cachet to the name that people are like, I want that again, and then here it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't mourn Killzone entirely yet. I think it's just like waiting, like Undertaker in his coffin for the right moment to spring up. Was that a good wrestling reference?
I mean, you're kind of invoking Royal Rumble in 1994 when Yokozuna actually beat Undertaker in a casket match. But what you're eliminating the fact of is that he beat him, then they rolled the casket down, then this smoke poured out of it, and then they went to the Titantron where he woke up in the casket, and then he ascended from the Titantron into human form and then into the rafters. He waited like in the ethereal plane until SummerSlam 94 when he came back and he had to fight the other version of himself that Ted DiBiase was
It might surprise you, Greg, but that is exactly what I was evoking.
I know you know your shit.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I was there. SummerSlam 94. I was there.
Oh, you were there? Damn.
Oh, my God. United Center? Amazing.
Incredible. I've never been to a wrestling event live.
What's your problem?
I lived in the UK. Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. That sounds amazing.
I'm going to SummerSlam next week if this COVID clears up. So, you know.
Interesting.
You missed your boat there.
The only show that I don't know if you remember, the only show that they had in London for a while was Capital Carnage. Do you remember that?
No, well they did Insurrection for a while too.
Oh, was it Insurrection? The only reason I remember Capital Carnage is because one of my friends managed to get tickets and it was insane. He went with his entire family and he had to convince his like mom and dad that wrestling was cool. And then a boob was accidentally unleashed in the ring right in front of him and his entire family. And let's just say his parents were not happy about that.
I mean, the kid's got to learn somewhere, you know?
Yeah. No, that kid knew already. That kid knew already, but his parents did not know he knew.
The kid knew and the parents didn't know that the kid knew.
Yeah, so no, I mean, that kid was very familiar with boobs, but like his parents were like, no, we have to keep this kid safe. And then so when the boob appeared in the wrestling format, they were like, you can never watch wrestling again. This is clearly a softcore porn thing that you are watching.
Damn. Can you imagine how magical it was for him though? Or if like,
yeah.
You know?
Incredible.
I think that was one of like the, I got in at the right time of wrestling things, right?
Yeah,
because I had the 80s when I was a little kid and I'm watching It's Hogan, It's Warrior. And that's when my dad would watch with me. And he'd, you know, when Monday Night Raw started, it started very much in that era still, or, you know, in between. But it wasn't the Attitude Era. And so he'd watch with me. And by the time he fell away, I stopped watching as a kid at some point. And then in high school, I came back hard for the Attitude Era, Raw's War, DX, all that, you know, Monday Night Wars, all that jazz. Mm. And that's when wrestling was just as raunchy as humanly possible. And I'm talking about sure what's in the ring, but then also going to the shows and people, I should say, they're flashing titties in the audience. You know what I mean? And the performers in the ring during the commercial break are egging them on to do this stuff. And it's me and my other 16-year-old or 15-year-old high school friends there. And like your parents just think you're off there watching Macho Man drop an elbow. A lot more than elbows, Paul, let me tell you.
So we didn't have WWE. Well, WWF wasn't airing on normal TV, terrestrial TV. You had to pay like subscription fee and get Sky, and that was so expensive. But what they did have on Channel 4 was WCW.
Sure.
So I used to settle for WCW, which was actually pretty good. It was like Sting, Booker T, and a few other like notable wrestlers. But I desperately always wanted to watch WWF because I was a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, and like that is what I wanted, and I just did not get it. So I think I just like it passed me by at a time. I used to watch every Royal Rumble I'd watch, but I'd watch it like a week later because my friend would tape it. He'd watch it like over and over and over for that week, and then once he was done, he'd hand it to me, and by then I'd know exactly what was happening. So I was just watching it for the sake of watching it.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Man.
Jen, we're taking Tam to wrestling one day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking you to an ad break. If you didn't know, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to support us, right in to be part of the show, be a Patreon producer, get the show ad-free, get the show at the post-show, watch the XCast 100 live as they record it today. But most importantly for you, right now, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and get all of our game shows without any advertisements. But you're not there right now, Jack, so here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. Are people still trying to make plans with you this summer? As if you aren't booked and busy already. But thankfully, MeUndies wants to help make this summer the most comfortable one you will never forget. Because when you're living your best life, the last thing you want to worry about is butt sweat. And I know that from experience. But you know what? MeUndies has always been there to help me. I'm always wearing my MeUndies shirts, my lounge pants, my lounge shorts, my undies themselves, the socks. I'm a MeUndies fanboy. Wouldn't have it any other way. I just absolutely love the soft micromodal fabric. Find your ultimate summer comfort in sizes extra small all the way up to 4XL. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you out there. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off. For a limited time, if you sign up for the free to join MeUndies membership, you get 25% off your first membership item. To get 50% off your order, 25% off your first membership item, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? Well, you don't want random passerbyers looking in on you, so why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Your internet service provider knows every single website you visit. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, whether it's my phone, my desktop, everything. Anytime I'm using the internet, just because I am trying to stay as safe as possible. The best part is, using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, you click one button, and you're protected. It is so easy. It's the biggest button in the world. One click, you're done. So if you're like me and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself today by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. You can use our link, expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Funny. Shout out to Athletic Greens for sponsoring this episode. I started taking AG1 because I'm not a big pill guy. I don't want to spend a lot of time on extra things, but I wanted to make sure that I was taking care of my health. Now, I've been using it the last couple months and I love it. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy. It has a fun tropical taste that I actually look forward to in the morning. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny.
Numero tres on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, is actually going to lead into Tam's breaking news. We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed Red, all right? So yesterday, a whole bunch of Ubisoft news happened, right? We talked about Avatar Frontiers of Pandora was getting delayed to 2023. Ubisoft canceled Ghost Recon Frontline, Splinter Cell VR, and 2 unannounced games. Then, we talked about that yesterday. That was on yesterday's show. Congratulations, mm-hmm. You all listened to the show, I know. Then, Ethan Gotch over at Kotaku wrote about that, but then added this in there, right? Assassin's Creed has remained one of the few bright spots for the company, and Kotaku understands that in addition to the live service project, Assassin's Creed Infinity, let me try this again. Sorry, the COVID. And Kotaku understands that in addition to the live service project, Assassin's Creed Infinity, Ubisoft is also still planning another new open world game called Project Red. Then Ethan puts in an update. Bloomberg's Jason Schreier reports Red is actually part of Infinity rather than a separate game. Remember, Infinity's supposed to be that platform that we don't know much about, but that they talked about it and said, hey, we're making this thing. It's a platform. We're working on it. We're trying it. Let's see what actually goes from it, right? They're saying that this is actually part of that. Then Ethan goes on. This is where your listening skills from before will be important. No, no, that's what I'm making the thing about. According to two sources familiar with its development, it will be set in Asia. VentureBeat's Jeff Grubb previously reported that the game might be set in Japan.
Hold on. This is clear indication that Kotaku is fucking not paying any attention. And I could have told you Kotaku's not paying any attention to what's going on in the world. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I like Kotaku, but if you're going to get it wrong, like, I'm just going to call you out. Like, I don't Ethan, know. This is Ethan.
It's Ethan.
Get a grip. Okay? Just look out the Kotaku bunker for a minute, and you'll see that Jeff Grubb has moved on. He's happy now with his new partners, GiantBomb.com.
You understand how it is, though, of like, it's like, sure, Michael Jordan, you know, went and became a wizard to end his career, but he did no
Michael
good
Jordan work.
Michael
Jordan turned into a wizard?
Yeah. I knew this one wouldn't play to Tam, but I knew it would work out there, all right? He went to a different basketball team when he was out of talent and no good anymore. But he did his best work with the Bulls. And so that's literally the Jeff Grubb scenario here, right? So like Ethan is reporting on the reports Jeff did at VentureBeat, not the stuff he does now where he just farts on Twitch with Dan Riker and you guys are like, content, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got a daily show that goes up every morning, much earlier than other daily
shows. Him and Dan Riker farting around, that's what they call it. No. You guys do great work over there.
He's in the chat right now. He's absolutely molding in the chat right now.
GiantBomb.com. Everybody go over there. That's where he works now. In the meantime, multiple employees tell Kotaku, different Ubisoft studios are facing fewer and smaller raises for staff, less hiring, and various budget freezes. This new wave of austerity comes as many major tech companies prepare for a potential recession. Ubisoft's problems go beyond that, however, with beleaguered ambitious projects like Beyond Good and Evil 2, the sequel to a beloved cult classic action RPG, still completely MIA, and senior developers. Huh?
Dead game. 100%.
Oh, yeah, 100% dead. And senior developers on some core franchises jumping ship. Ubisoft's next forward gaming showcase will air on September 10th. The company did not respond to a request for comment. Now, jumping off of that, the breaking news comes from the one, the only Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. This is story number 4. Ubisoft pushes back next Assassin's Creed title in already thin year. Ubisoft Entertainment has delayed the next Assassin's Creed title, pushing it from February to the spring, marking the second such setback in recent days for the French video game publisher. The new game, codenamed Rift, and set in the Middle East, was originally planned as an expansion to 2020's Assassin's Creed Valhalla. But morphed into a standalone game in order to fill a hole in Ubisoft's thin release schedule. Take it, Tam. Go, Tam.
In order to fill a hole in Ubisoft's standalone release schedule for the fiscal year, Ubisoft's office in Bordeaux is leading development on the game and asked for more time because Rift is running far behind schedule, according to a person familiar with company's plans. The delay will impact Ubisoft's balance sheet as the game moves from the company's current fiscal year, which ends in March, to the next. The game is now expected to be released in May to June period. An Ubisoft spokesperson didn't immediately have a comment. So we've got another Ubisoft title that has been punted a little further out. The exciting thing about this one is set in the Middle East, which makes a lot of sense because Valhalla, as far as I know, is pre-Assassin's Creed 1 and kind of like moves into, like segues into it, I believe.
You have those, the assassins, and that's the whole thing, right? The assassin who's in your village, your Viking village, Eivor's friend. Chat's going to say his name in a second. The rumor is that he's the star of this, and that's why obviously it sprung from that game, that it was going to be an add-on to it, and then it became its own thing. Basim,
yeah. Interesting. So I don't know. We talked extensively about Assassin's Creed in the latest GameSpot After Dark podcast, and I'm the thing that baffles me is they're putting so much on this franchise to the detriment of every other property that they own. And then every time we hear about what's going on with Assassin's Creed, it feels like the back is literally breaking on that franchise. And Ubisoft does nothing to kind of adjust the weight and move the load. It just keeps canceling titles around Assassin's Creed and then going, why is everything delaying? Why is everything thin? Why are people not liking it? Why does no one care about Assassin's Creed anymore? It still sells, but like, yeah. I feel like there was a time, remember the Halcyon days where people fondly talked about Assassin's Creed?
Mm-hmm.
And now they begrudgingly play through these 100-hour experiences that are 80% fluff and 20% good content. And I just don't understand what the strategy is here for them. Like, they clearly have some ideas of where they want to go, but they're just forcing so much down people's throat. And now we've got this game that sounds interesting, but is like already delayed. And it's just like very strange.
The problem I feel is that Ubisoft is reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember this is, you have to put on your memory caps here. When Vivendi came on strong and looked like they were going to buy up Ubisoft and it was going to be a hostile takeover, they doubled down on what worked. And that meant that they had seen success with the big games as a service that isn't necessarily a games as a service. That is the, you're spending hours and hours and hours and hours and hours with it, right? And so they doubled down on that. They made things like The Division, which are great, obviously, as games of service, Ghost Recon, that thing. Then they go over and they start off with the new version of Assassin's Creed, and they found success with it, right? Like, people loved Origins, and then Odyssey came around, and I didn't love Origins, I loved Odyssey. And there's this fun fight of which is better, right? But we can all sit there and be like, these are both amazing games, and yada, yada, yada. But then they came back with Valhalla, and it was that thing where, at that point, the world was already shifting and changing. There was already criticism of like, man, these games were great, but they were too big. But like, you know, Odyssey got bigger than Origins. Valhalla got bigger than Odyssey. And so now it's like, dude, fucking stop. We're full. And this was the argument, you know, a long, long time ago when Assassin's Creed was annual. And it was the conversation of, when will you stop doing this? And they straight up said, when you stop buying them. We will change it when you, we will change this when you stop buying them. People stop buying Assassin's Creed as much. There was enough criticism of it. So now you have the criticism that is Valhalla is way too bloated. And this is coming from somebody who loves the combat in it, you know, came back over paternity leave, put another 50 hours into it. And I don't think I'm anywhere near the end of it. Like, I don't even, and I'm just lost in it where it's just a pool of check marks and shit to do, but I'm not even committed. I'm not even connected to Eivor the way I'm connected to Cassandra.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have this whole thing of, like, God, all of that has gone too far one way. I think it's exciting to sit here and talk about Rift and be like, all right, cool. All the things you love from those games, but dialed in, shorter, linear, or not linear, but, you know, contained.
More focused, yeah.
Yeah. And I also get excited for Infinity, where I do think, I don't know what that looks like. I have my theories, right, of, hey, Infinity is a platform. It'll have all these different protagonists, but are you anchoring around somebody like Cassandra who's, you know, able to be and exist for years and hundreds of years and all these thousands of years, spoiler, and do all these different things, and that's what it is, and that's the tentpole that's connecting it? I don't want it to be the Animus. I don't give a shit about the story anymore of Assassin's Creed. Just give me cool things to go explore.
That's interesting. Because I'm the opposite, where I started to lose it when, admittedly, he's not a great anchor, but Desmond started to drift away. And like, they introduced Layla, and Layla was kind of cool as well. But I need characters to really engage with. And I feel like the bigger the world gets, the less important the characters feel, if you know what I mean. Because of the time you spend between missions and just like faffing around, there's no urgency to it, a lot of it. And like, I liked Origins a lot. I thought Bayek was the last character that I really, really connected with. I enjoyed Cassandra for a little bit, but like, the early hours of Odyssey are not the best, I would say. Like, they're very slow going. For me, I wanted to like get stuck into it a bit more, and it's like early days are like a bit like willy-nilly faffing around for a little bit. But like, by the time I kind of got going with Cassandra, I was like, I kind of have other things to do now. It's kind of slow. And I looked at the map and I'm like, there's like 1 trillion hours of this left to go. And I know that a lot of this is going to be fluff. I really hope that I've said it many times before. Like, I hope they go back to the more focus, not necessarily like, you know, oh, it's completely linear again, but like, create a smaller space that they make super dense and just pack with wall-to-wall banging quests, wall-to-wall core characters, interesting combat, and we don't need the entire... I don't need to run through the field for 20 minutes to get to the one marker. Just condense that all into like a city that you make really, really cool, like the Rainbow Six Siege approach, where they had this big game they were working on. They were like, let's not do that. Small, super destructible, focused experience. And I realize Siege is a first-person shooter, so it's a different kind of thing. But you get what I mean. Like, an area that feels a little more contained, a little more... And, like, I talked about this again previously in the GameSpot thing, but, like, I still feel like they didn't make good on the vision of the first game. Like, they moved from the original Assassin's Creed pitch, which was this social stealth game in a very tight, focused area, to where they had, like, connected areas through, like, an overworld type thing that wasn't all that interesting, to two, where they kind of became a pseudo-open world very quickly. I still want them to go back to that original idea and, like, get that one right, which they have come to a few times but never done it perfectly. And I would love to see them go back and do that. As for Infinity, I like the idea of Infinity, this kind of, like, multiverse of Assassin's Creed titles that they just keep jamming into. But I don't know, man. This the thing for me that I take away is from this story is Ubisoft as a company is not as diverse as it used to be, and Assassin's Creed is under more of a load than it ever has been. Yep. It's gonna give at some point, and I am not looking forward to that house of cards coming crashing down and then Ubisoft suddenly being like, what happened? I was like, well, you know what happened. You spent all your eggs in one basket.
That with Infinity being a platform and needing content drops on it, that you would be getting smaller drops and you would be getting something more akin to what you're saying, but it would make sense for both of us where there is an overarching story for what's happening in Infinity. Then you're getting these different time periods episodically to go through and do things. And obviously there'll be an open area you're exploring or whatever, but even that I think would be smaller than what we've seen before.
Yeah.
But all this said, and part of their problem I think is that you get these games and you can fall in love with them in a way that also then reflects badly on the rest of them, where Odyssey is still on my PlayStation live screen, dashboard, whatever you want to call it, because they just dropped a update for it or whatever. And I'm like, I never did finish all the DLC. And it's one of those things when I start getting into, I want a big open world RPG, I start toying around and do stuff. I'm like, I could just go back to being Cassandra. The problem is that the game has a issue with, I'm so fucking powerful now and I'm still getting skill points and there's nowhere for them to go anymore. It's just like, well, why am I doing this? I'm poisoning people in 2 seconds when they want to attack them. It's no longer the challenge of it.
I think what you need is an open world game where you don't feel powerful and you feel more like there's an incentive to understanding the world and growing, and you need to, you know, feel like your back is up against the wall now and then, but also have this diverse, you know, universe that has interesting lore. What you need, Greg, is Elden Ring, baby. Let's go. Fire it up. That'll get you what you need. Put away the Assassin's Creed.
Never. Number five and final on the Roper Report for your week. Nintendo Switch Sports has got an update coming. That's Nintendo. Beginning July 26th at 6 p.m. Pacific, a free software update will be available that kicks things up a notch and adds a number of new features to the game. You'll be able to turn your real-life kicks into powerful in-game actions in full soccer matches, pull off fancy new moves in volleyball, and even reach for higher ranks in the pro league. It's got leg strap stuff you can use. You're doing this thing, you're kicking that thing. If you already brought your A game to the competition, this update will you can reach for even greater heights when you play online in the new Pro League with the addition of the new S rank and Infinity rank. When you aren't spiking, swinging, or striking for the new ranks in random matchmaking, you'll be able to easily join friend matches using room IDs.
Cool. Sounds cool. Good.
Did you ever play this one?
I played a bit of it, yeah. I played a bit with a bunch in the office with a few of the other GameSpot folks, and it's a lot of fun. This is great for people who are still invested in it. The actual like changes to the soccer stuff is probably beneficial, because I realized I heard that that mini game is a little tricky to play, so adding like extra leg strap stuff and et cetera, will probably help it out. But yeah, I don't know if I'd go back to this game right now. I kind of want to give it a little more time for them to like. I hope they introduce new sports. That's what I want.
Did they ever? They haven't done it yet, have they? They remember?
No, they haven't added anything entirely new. Yeah, they haven't added anything yet. They're supposed to, but that's what will bring me back. These like smaller kind of tweaks are good for the people that are actively playing it, but I probably won't go back to it until it's like, hey, we've got baseball.
Well, Cam, I'm excited for you to one day go back to Nintendo Switch Sports, but that day's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Airy Vikings, it's on everything. Dungeon Slime Collection, it's on everything except PC. Banish is on PC, though. Princess.loot.pixel.again. X2 is on Xbox. Capcom Arcade. Second Stadium is on everything. Live Alive is on Switch, and everybody's freaking out about it. Schoolbreak.io is out now on Steam. Did you play Live Alive?
No, I have not, but I definitely want to. It looks really cool. Me too, yeah.
Blessing had a good review of it. Endzone's Distant Places DLC is now available on PlayStation Xbox. Hero-ish is on Apple Arcade. New dates for you. You can retreat. To Enen's release. Oh, no. Retreat to Enen's. I gotta imagine that's Eden, but did I copy it wrong? Whatever. Retreat to Eden or Retreat to Ian's release date has been moved up to August 1st on 2022 PC. Path to Titans closed beta is launching on July 27th. And it's time to team up with the GOAT. LeBron James is slamming into Multiversus July 26th, everybody. There's a trailer out right now. People are excited, I think.
Yeah.
My favorite WB character.
LeBron James. Yes.
Space Jam.
Every morning, you know, it's a sweet game. This one, Sam, did you play Multiversus?
I've not played Multiverses yet. I'm going to. I generally fall off Smash Brothers clones on Smash Brothers itself pretty quickly, but I do want to check it. I do want to main Batman, obviously, and just stomp people online. So we'll see. I'm gonna give it a go.
We ask people watching live to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. In here is just kebabs trying to say that we screwed up LeBron James being revealed. No, we didn't. You just pulled the trigger too early, kebabs. So yeah. I want you to think about what you did, and you're not allowed to use the W key the rest of the day. Okay? Think about that.
Pull it off!
Ladies and gentlemen, that's your final Kind of Funny Games Daily for the week. But we'll be back next week. Of course, the show doesn't end. We have a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, if you went over there and supported us to watch the post show when it gets posted later, you get the show ad-free. You could write in and be part of the show. You could watch the XCast episode. I'm going to chew up this cough drop. Fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to tuck it in, but it's so small now. Keep it coming out. Yeah. You can watch XCast 100th episode today live all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Next week, we'll be back. The hosts look like this. Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, Janet and Gary. Wednesday, Blessing and Janet. Thursday, Blessing and Mike. Friday, Blessing and Tam. It's a big Blessing weekend.
Or yeah, Blessing carrying Kind of Funny Games Daily the next week.
You know what?
It's true.
Good for him.
It's about time he did some work.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen. We have a post show to do. If you're watching live right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, don't worry. Don't go anywhere. Mike's going to play some Fortnite before we all do a reaction to the Marvel Studios SDCC animation panel. What will we see? Are we just reacting to the announcements? Are we just going to hang out and make fun of Nick? Probably. But it's a good day of hanging out, having some Comic-Con fun. I'm supposed to be there, but I have COVID. I'm sorry. Mm. Sucks. You know, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Hate to see it.
You hate to see it. Anyways, Tam? As always, you're as sweet as a Georgia peach. Where can people keep up with you?
You can keep up with me on GameSpot, on Giant Bomb, and on twitch.tv/TomoreH.
Excellent. We have a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But until next time, no! It's been our pleasure to serve you.